Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
But we're giving you that gift, a fire lighter, because our theme this morning, as we talk about Father's Day, is faith on fire. Faith on fire. I want to welcome those who are joining us online today. Thank you for being with us. And as I talk to the dads who are watching or the dads in the house, this isn't just for dads. It is for all of us. But there is something powerful about the influence of a father. God is our father, and we need a nation of godly fathers to instill a faith on fire in the next generation so that our nation returns back to God the Father. According to the Child and Family Research Partnership at the University of Texas in Austin, it found that fathers play a key role in their children's future success. The research has found that fatherhood is linked to better outcomes on nearly every measure of a child's well-being, from cognitive development and educational achievement to self-esteem and pro-social behavior. Children who grow up with involved fathers are 39% more likely to earn mostly A's in school, 45% less likely to repeat a grade, 60% less likely to be suspended or expelled from school, twice as likely to go to college and find stable employment after high school, 75% less likely to have a teen birth, and 80% less likely to spend time in jail. One area that this study did not touch on was the spiritual side. And as Jesus has said, the spiritual side is the most important, because he says, what does it profit a person if you gain the entire world but you lose your own soul? And so, dads, you play a crucial, critical role in influencing the faith of the next generation. Psalm 112, it talks about a person who walks after God. I'm going to start in verse 1. It says, praise the Lord, how joyful. How many want joy in your life? All right? Here's the key to joy. It says, how joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commands. That's where joy comes from. It comes from having a vibrant relationship with God, walking in fellowship with the Lord. That's where joy comes from. And then it goes on to talk about their children in verse 2. It says, their children will be successful everywhere. How many can handle that? How many want your kids to be successful everywhere? That's what happens when you walk with God. It says, an entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy, and their good deeds will last forever. You know, how awesome would it be for our kids not only to be blessed financially so that they can be a blessing to others, but they live their lives in such a way that their good deeds go on forever. It's like they make history, like George Washington, Abraham Lincoln. My wife and I, we just took this past week, we took our daughter who came home from college, and she did an internship with Convoy of Hope for a few weeks. Before she starts work here in the next few days, we says, hey, let's head off to the Black Hills. And so we went and saw Mount Rushmore. We love Mount Rushmore. How many have ever been to Mount Rushmore before? Yeah, many of you have. And you see George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Theodore Roosevelt, Abraham Lincoln. These people, their good deeds, they're listed in history. They're not going to be forgotten. How awesome would it be that our kids, their good deeds would not be forgotten? They're written in history books when people look and say, man, look what this person did. And it comes from parents who follow after God. It goes on to say in verse 4, light shines in the darkness for the godly. They are generous, compassionate, and righteous. What if we raised a generation of generous-minded people? They're so generous that they bless others. They're compassionate. They're kind. They make a difference in the lives of the world. And these people, they're godly. They're living a life that's separate from the standards of the world. They don't compromise and go along with the flow, with the crowd, with what everyone else is doing. They live a life that's above reproach. It goes on to say in verse 5, good comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly. Such people will not be overcome by evil. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. They are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. What if our kids lived such exemplary lives with righteousness, kindness, compassion, responsibility, generosity, that people, they give them influence? Because here's a person that is so noteworthy, and we want them to influence other people to be like them in the areas of politics, education, in life, all throughout society, and their names are remembered forever. I don't know about you, but that's what I want for my kids. That's what I want for the next generation, and it comes from us as we walk with God. I'm going to talk about how to rightly expose our kids to the right environments. The right environments so that we don't create idiots. How many know there are some people, the way they're raising kids, they're raising idiots. All right? Or they're raising a fear-filled generation. This talked about a confident generation. They're not walking in fear. They're walking confidently, righteously, generously. They have influence, honor, and respect. That's what we want to do. And in your notes this morning, I'd like you to take a look. What does our culture say a success is in parenting? Our culture has a very different definition. Our culture says success is raising well-rounded, well-educated, happy kids. That's what society's success is. If you're going to raise successful kids, they need to be well-rounded, they need to be educated, well-educated, and they need to be happy. Now, there's nothing wrong with being well-rounded if you don't want to make an impact. Because here's the thing. When you're well-rounded in everything and you don't excel at anything, you don't make an impact. The people that really make a mark, they do a few things really, really well. So it's not just, I want my kids to be well-rounded. I want my kids to excel in their God-given bent. There's nothing wrong with being well-educated. It's good to be well-educated, but as we noted earlier, Jesus said, what does it profit a person if they gain the whole world and lose their soul? I would rather have my kids be highly transformed instead of being highly educated, because a highly transformed kid is going to have character that will impact their world, whereas a highly educated person may or may not impact their person, and they can impact people in a wrong way if they're not transformed by the Spirit of God. And then happy. We want our kids to be happy. I mean, I think we all talk about, yeah, we want our kids to be happy, but do you realize that happiness is not a pathway to success? And by the way, so a lot of times what happy means in our society is, well, can't tell them no. I don't want to hurt their feelings. I can't give them honest feedback. I mean, we got to boost their self-esteem up. See, happy kids don't change their world. What is our goal? What is God's calling us to do? In your notes this morning, we are called to unleash Christ-centered, biblically anchored world changers. That's what God is calling us to do. And well-rounded, well-educated, happy kids are not going to be Christ-centered, biblically anchored world changers. And so this morning, I want to talk about what does that take? How do we produce that? And it all depends upon what we expose our kids to. You see, kids are becoming a reflection of what they're exposed to. Your kids, my kids, they are a reflection of what they're becoming exposed to. If you expose your kids to a lot of sports, they'll probably develop a passion for sports. If you expose them to the arts and they're exposed to that, they'll develop appreciation for the arts, most likely. And our kids today need to be exposed to the right thing. God wants you and I to raise Christ-centered, biblically anchored world changers. Now, some of you parents are saying, you know what? That sounds really difficult. There's a lot there, Craig. I mean, I'm just trying to pay the bills. I'm just trying to keep my kids out of peer pressure, keep them away from drugs and alcohol. You want me to Christ-centered, biblically anchored? What in the world does that mean? I can't even find my Bible, let alone know how to do that. You know, world changers? I'm just trying not to kill my kids. I just want to make it through the day. There's so much pressure and stress. So how do we create Christ-centered, biblically anchored world changers? Proverbs 13:20 says, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. The companion of fools will suffer harm." If we expose them to the right people, the right influences, the right environments, there's a good chance that they will become wise. On the flip side, if we expose them to foolish influences, environments, people, and places, they're going to suffer harm. Here's the thing I've discovered. As a dad, as a parent, I cannot force my kids to fall in love with Jesus. You can't force anyone to fall in love with Jesus, because love is an act of your will, not something that's forced upon you. But we can put our kids in positive environments that can help them to desire to be Christ-centered, biblically anchored, and become a world changer. So what I want to do here in the next few minutes we have is talk about three areas of managing exposure, three things to expose our kids to. Number one in your notes this morning is we should expose our kids to the joy of knowing God personally. Expose our kids to the joy of knowing God personally. John 17:3. "This is eternal life, that they may know you," not just know about God, but that they would personally know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Most kids today are not rejecting Christianity. What they're rejecting is hypocrisy in the home. They're rejecting religion, because Jesus himself is pretty hard to reject. I mean, what did he talk about? He talked about blessing people, about helping others, about doing good, being light, being kind, forgiving, giving, being generous, being a servant, helping. I mean, all these things, that's what Jesus talked about. Kids are not rebelling against Jesus. They're rebelling against hypocrisy and religion. Well, how do you produce a rebellious child? Rebellion is produced by rules without relationship. If you have rules, do this, do that, do this, do that, and there's no relationship, that produces rebellion. Also, if you are saying one thing but doing another, if the life that you're living does not reflect what we say we believe, if that we say one thing but we don't have the integrity to do it, we're doing another, that's what produces rebellion in our kids. And so how do we expose our kids to knowing God personally? Three things in your notes. Letter A, expose them in our everyday language. You want to incorporate spiritual language into natural living. Incorporate spiritual language in natural everyday living. Do you realize we live in two worlds? Every moment of the day, we live in two worlds. There's a physical, natural world that you and I see, but there's also a spiritual world with angels and demons, the battle between light and darkness that we don't see. And the two coexist together. And what we don't want is a distinction between the spiritual and the natural. You see, sometimes we think the spiritual world is right here, Sunday morning, 90 minutes, we're in the spiritual world, and then we're going to go home and celebrate Father's Day, and now we're in the natural world, and we just kind of exclude God from our lives. No, we need to realize the spiritual and the natural coexist 24/7, 365. And so what we want to do is we want to include spiritual language in natural everyday living. How do we do that? Well, one, when your kid scores a goal in soccer, what do we normally say? "That was a great goal you scored. Way to go." Now, that's okay to say that, but what about also adding this into the equation? What about saying, hey, you've really been working hard on developing your God-given talents and abilities. And in the game today, you brought it your all. You gave your all. You went, you played your game as unto the Lord with all your heart. That was a great goal you had. You see, by doing that, you've just taken the natural and you've combined the spiritual and you've brought them together. Another way to do that is to talk about how God has blessed you. I mentioned just a few moments ago, this last week, we went to the Black Hills. The reason we went to the Black Hills is that two weeks ago, I received an email from a hotel chain, and they said, you've got an X amount of points. You're going to lose them at the end of August if you don't use them. I'm going, well, let's use them, all right? And it's like, our daughter, she's going to start working, raise money to go back to school. Let's go on vacation. And this hotel chain, get this, they just opened their first hotel in the Black Hills in April. Just in April, and was like, I've got enough points, I can spend two nights there, $500 worth of hotel rooms. And it's like, God's provided that for us. And so it was like, talked about that. When we're on the trip, there was supposed to be rain different days. We went to Mount Rushmore on Wednesday. It was a beautiful day. And just, you know, I thank God for this beautiful weather that he gave us. And different times as there was blessings on the trip, I just said it out loud. You know, isn't God good? How God's blessed us with this. He's blessed us with that. And we just talk about the blessings of God in our natural everyday life. That is how you and I help bring the spiritual into natural living. And that's vitally important because I don't want to wait till Sunday morning. We come to Sunday morning and now I start talking about God and what God has done. God wants us to walk in the Spirit. And that walk isn't just walking into a church building. It's walking into work, walking into home, walking into school, walking into the store. That we think about God, incorporate God into natural everyday living. All right, another way that we expose our kids to the joy of knowing God personally, letter B in your notes, is help them to get to know God's heart through prayer. Help them to get to know God's heart through prayer. How do we do that? One way is family devotions. When our kids were at home, we had family devotions. We usually did it at the breakfast table, and it was really quick. And then we took prayer needs, and we prayed for their needs. And it just that's something we're going to do. We're going to talk about God, pray for God to bless this day, give us this day our daily bread. And so we incorporated knowing God at the breakfast table. But even more importantly than praying for their needs is that our kids need to see Dad and Mom every morning modeling prayer. That we're spending time seeking God, that our appointment with God is more important than any other appointment. Because when it's a priority, something that we do and not just say, kids are more likely to catch it. Kids are more likely to do what they see than what they hear. Am I modeling a prayer life? What you can do is share answered prayers when God answers something. Hey, God just blessed me. We need to repair the car. I got this estimate. It was X amount of dollars, really expensive. I prayed, God, help me to find a cheaper mechanic. I found a great mechanic who did it for half the cost. And you just share an answer to prayer. You can also share something God has spoken to you about as you've been praying. It's like, you know what? God revealed to me as I was praying that I need to pray and bless this difficult person at work, and I need to change my attitude towards them. God spoke to me that I haven't had the right attitude. I need to pray for God to bless them and help them and for them to come to know Jesus. And so we just talk about how God has spoken to us through prayer. When our kids see that, they realize that this isn't a religion. It's a relationship. And we're excited about what God is speaking to us, how God is guiding us, how God's involved in our lives. Letter C, the next way that we help them to joyfully, personally know God is to help them get to know God's will through His Word. Help them get to know God's will through His Word. Again, how did we do that? Dads, moms, grandparents, we're modeling it. We're spending time in the Word. We're reading the Word. We're allowing God to change us. We serve a God who wants to be involved in our lives. He's not a million, billion, trillion miles somewhere up in heaven who doesn't give a rip about us. He says, no, I want to walk with you. I want to be involved in your life. I want to guide you. I want to direct you. I want to comfort you. I want to help you. I want to strengthen you. And our kids need to realize that we have a genuine walk with God, that we enjoy knowing Jesus. Do you enjoy knowing Jesus? Do you enjoy knowing Jesus? Do you enjoy knowing Jesus? I hope so. But do our kids know that we enjoy knowing Jesus? I love spending time in His Word because He speaks to me. He helps me. I love praying to Him because He gives me guidance. He comforts me. He's just my best friend. I love what God's doing in my life, how He's blessed me. I love what God's doing in your life, how He's developing your talents, your gifts, how He answered your prayers. You prayed for a job. God gave you a job. You prayed for help in your test, and God helped you in that test. And I let them know that I'm joyful, I'm grateful, that I see how God works in my life and in their lives. Dads, if you want your kids to see a father in God, let them see God in their father. I'm going to say that again. If you want your kids to see a father in God, that God is their father, then they need to see God in their father. As they see God transforming us, working in our lives, making us more like Jesus, then they have a greater chance of following after Jesus themselves. Okay, let's take a look at the second thing. If we want to raise kids that are Christ-centered, biblically anchored, world changers, the number two thing we need to expose them to is to the presence and power of God in His church. We want to expose them to the presence and power of God in His church. Church is a place where we see God working. We see people being saved. We see people being filled with the Spirit. Last Sunday, we had people that came down. They received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We see people that are being transformed. Their lives are being changed. They're being set free. Families are growing in love. They're growing in community and compassion and growing in Jesus. We want our kids to see that, and they see that things are happening in church. And so here, we never want this question to be asked in our home. Okay, this is one question you ever want to hear in our home. Dad, are we going to church this weekend? That should be a given. It's kind of like saying, you don't want your kids to say, Dad, are we going to be able to eat today? Are we going to eat today? No. You want your kids to know there's food on the table. They should have that same expectation. In our house, never did our kids ask if we were going to church. Now, you say, Craig, that's because you're the pastor. They know you're going to church. You got to go to church. It's your job. Here's the thing. Even if I wasn't a pastor, we'd still go to church. Because church is not what I do. Church is who I am. In fact, you are the church too. Because the church is not a building. It's not a service. The church is the people. We are the church. And so we need to be part of the church. Here's the thing. Do your kids go to their baseball practices, their baseball games? They do. Why? Because they're part of the team. Well, friends, you're part of God's team. You're part of His body. We are on the team. So going to church is part of who we are, what we do. Last fall, our son, he got married. And it was a Saturday wedding, evening reception, and we had a lot of family in from out of town, and some wanted to get on the road. But we decided, you know what, we're going to be really tired, so we're going to have church at home. Our oldest daughter, who lives in Texas, she and her husband, they lead worship at their church down there. And so we were going to have them lead by guitar and acoustically in the house. And then Rebecca's dad, he's a pastor, so he was going to share the word. So we told him, we're going to have family church here. And we planned on that, and this was great. My 5-year-old twin grandsons, Sunday morning, it's like, Are we going to church? And it's like, well, we're going to have church here at the house with everyone. Well, we should go to church. When we're at home, we go to church. And I'm going, yes, my grandsons get it. Church isn't maybe. No, we go to church. Church is our fuel. Church is our fire. We love going to the house of God. We love worshiping Jesus. We love learning about Jesus because it's in God's house, in God's people, in His community where lives are changed. If you only go to church once a month, twice a month, whenever you feel like it, friends, your kids are not being exposed to the community and the power and the presence of God. You need to expose your kids to the power and presence of God on a regular basis. Now, just because you do that doesn't mean they're going to follow God. A big part of it is, are we a healthy body or are we a toxic body? See, if we're a diseased body and our kids are coming, then they're going to, man, if that's what it means to be a Christian, I want nothing to do with it. But when they see love, when they see compassion, when they see forgiveness, when they see joy, cynicism, negativism, backbiting, gossip, when our kids see a godly, Christ-centered, biblically anchored, world-changing people, then our kids will have a greater likelihood of being Christ-centered, biblically anchored world changers. Our kids need to be exposed to the power and presence of God. I challenge you, if that hasn't been a regular part of your life, and really, those of you who are here, you're not the ones who really need to be hearing this because you're here today. It's all the others who aren't. I encourage, if you know someone who's a little lax in their church attendance, be what Proverbs talks about, iron sharpening iron. And say, hey, I've noticed you haven't been around. Call them up this week. Say, where have you been? And maybe they're on vacation. That's legitimate. Maybe they're visiting family. Maybe they've been sick. Those are legitimate. But if there's somebody who they're more out of the habit of attending than in the habit of attending, I encourage you to encourage one another, spur one another on to love and good deeds as part of the body of Christ. Okay, let's take a look at the final thing we need to expose our kids to. We want to expose them to, first, the joy of knowing God personally. Secondly, the power and presence of God in His church. Number three, expose them to the thrill of being used by God. Expose them to the thrill of being used by God. Here at Radius, we don't restrict our students from being involved in ministry. We don't wait until they graduate and say, hey, now you can get involved. Now you're an adult. Now you can get involved. No, we believe that students are not the church of tomorrow. Our students are the church of today. Our kids are the church of today. God wants to pour out His Spirit on our sons and our daughters. He wants to impact this generation. He wants them to move in the gifts of the Spirit. He wants them to use their talents and abilities for God. He wants them to make a difference in other people's lives. He wants them to lead people to the Lord, to lay hands on the sick and for the sick to recover, for them to pray for people to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and they're baptized in the Spirit. God wants our kids to be just as much agents for the kingdom as adults are agents for the kingdom. Well, that's why we have young people. You saw today we had a couple of students on the worship team. We'll have students at the front door greeting. They're working in the nursery at preschool. I've heard there's going to be some kids might be working in the food pantry this summer. We want our kids, some are on the tech team. We want our kids to be exposed to the thrill of being used by God. Because God is no respecter of persons. He can use the grandfather who's 90 just as He can use a 9-year-old to pray for someone and be used of God. When our kids don't go to church, but they know they are the church, then they recognize that the church doesn't exist for us, but we are the church and we exist for the world. Do you realize that as a church, we don't exist for ourselves? No, we exist to help all people find and follow Jesus. We exist for the world, not for ourselves. It's not, well, I'm going to mom and dad's church. No, I'm going to my church. That's what we want our kids to say. Your kids, when you let your kids begin to serve and get involved and realize they have a place, you know what they'll do, parents? They'll outserve you. They'll outgive you. They'll outworship you. Your kids will take what you and I have done and they'll take it to a greater measure. We want our kids to be exposed to the thrill of being used by God. But here's the thing. It's not just our kids serving. It's that as parents, we lead the example in serving. Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15, it says, serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today. Dad, moms, grandparents, you choose. It's your choice. Choose today whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. For me and my family, we will serve the Lord. We choose, and it's not a namby-pamby, wishy-washy choice. It is a passionate, dedicated, heartfelt choice. I'm serving God. My faith is on fire. I'm going to joyfully know Jesus. I'm going to spend time in the Word. I'm going to spend time in prayer. I want God to be active in my life so that my kids can see that, and they want God to be active in their lives. I'm living with faith on fire. Dads, you lead to it. You don't wait for it. You don't hope for it. You don't pray for it. You can pray for it, but you just can't pray. You've got to lead to it, because faith without works is dead. We need to be the leaders. We need to be the ones setting the pace for the next generation. You don't say, well, we're a Christian family, because do you realize there's people all over America who say, we're a Christian family. I mean, we're born in America. We're not in the Middle East. We're not Muslims. You know, we're not Buddhists or Hindus. We're a Christian family. But yet, they really don't go to church. They don't serve. They're not in the Word. Friends, we don't want to be a Christian family. You know what we want to be? A Christ-centered family. A biblically anchored family. A world-changing family. Because if we're just a Christian family, we're not going to impact this next generation so they can impact our nation. We need to be Christ-centered, biblically anchored world changers and expose our kids to the right things. Why are you here this morning? Did you come, man, I needed a spiritual refilling? I get that. We do need that, and I hope you receive that when you come to church. But you know why we're here this morning? We're here to help all people find and follow Jesus. We're here this morning to help those people who are stranded in sin find life and liberty in Jesus Christ. It's not about us. It's about making Jesus famous. And I want all of our young people who are here to realize that everything we do in church is to be infused with eternally focused purposes, for people to know God, for them to be exposed so they can joyfully know the joy of being personally loved by God. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. We need to be a people that are taking aggressive steps of faith, that we're walking in the Spirit, that we are passionately pursuing God, and that we're talking about God in everyday life. Are you ready to say, I want to be Christ-centered, I want to be biblically anchored. I want to be a world changer, because you see, the people that fear their God and obey Him, they're going to be successful everywhere. They're going to be generous, conduct business fairly. They're going to be godly. They're going to be righteous. They're going to be kind. They're going to have influence. They're going to have honor. Their deeds are going to be long remembered. That's what I want for myself. That's what I want for you. That's what I want for our kids, for our grandkids. And it only happens when we expose them to the right things and we're modeling that exposure in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we come today in the name of Jesus. We realize the power, the influence that you have given us. And I pray that you would speak to everyone here at Radius Church this morning, God, about how to use our lives, our influence, for your glory, for your kingdom, and your honor. As you're reflecting in prayer today, and I don't care if you're a father, if you're a mother, if you're 13 years old, or anywhere in between, how many of you would recognize and say, I realize that I have influence. I realize I have influence. It might be a lot, it might be a little, but how many would realize, say, I've got influence. How many, just put your hand up if you realize you have influence. Every hand should be up because we have influence. I want to ask this. How many of you would say, I want to use what I've got, no matter how much, how little, but I want to start using my influence for the kingdom of God to impact this next generation, to impact those around me? If that's you, I want you just to raise your hand this morning. I want to pray for you. Father God, I pray right now that you would help us to be a people, God, that we passionately love you. We know the joy of personally knowing you, Lord God. Oh, God, that there would be such joy. There would be anticipation. Every day we get up, we'd say, God, I want to spend time with you. I need your presence. I'm desperate for you. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. I want more of you. God, help us to seek you passionately in prayer. God, help us to go after your will in your word. God, change our hearts. God, help our joy, our passion spill over to our kids and our grandkids. Help us to influence them. I pray our kids are people of the Word. They're biblically anchored. God, that they're passionately going after you. They're people of prayer. They're world changers, not because they hear it, but because they see it in us. God, help us to use our influence for your glory and your honor. Oh, Jesus, I pray they would see us using our gifts, our talents, our abilities in church, and that they would step up and say, I want to use my gifts, my talents. I want to serve the Lord. I want to serve in the house of God. I want to make a difference. I want God to use me to change people's lives. Oh, God, just do something in us. God, change the course of our nation. God, I pray for our next generation, our students today, that they will be the church of today and they will take up their place because, God, they see a faith on fire in us.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.life or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.